on the Bookshelf with your host, Dave Doc Kirby.
Happy Mother's Day. We have something very special for you today. A new book, Crafted by God, From Fertilization to Birth. It's from Master Books, and the authors are Dr. Georgia Purdom, who is Vice President of Educational Content, speaker and writer for Answers in Genesis. She holds a PhD in molecular genetics, director of Answers for Women conferences, general editor of Galapagos Islands, A Different View, and Rooted, Devotional for Women, contributor to many Answers in Genesis books, website in Answers magazine, and mother of an adopted daughter. To join us today is her co-author, Stacia McKeever, who is project manager for the Answers in Genesis VBS program, the author of Why Is Kiko Sick? And Answers for Kids Bible Curriculum, contributor to the Answers in Genesis website and Answers magazine, a bachelor's degree of science in biology and a bachelor of arts in psychology, and mom to three boys. Stacia, thank you so much for joining us today on the Bookshelf to talk about this beautiful book.
Thank you for having me.
How did you get involved? Was it your connection through Answers in Genesis programs?
Dr. Purdom and I have been friends for many, many years. We worked together at Answers in Genesis, and we've become friends outside of Answers in Genesis as well. And so we've had a friendship. Our kids are friends. And so a couple years ago, the Answers in Genesis, the Creation Museum, did an exhibit called Fearfully and Wonderfully Made. And it goes through the development of life before birth. And they were looking for children's books to offer alongside of that. And so she asked me, have you ever seen any good children's books on this topic? And I said, no, but we should write one. And so we got together and we put this book together and came up with Crafted by God.
Now, one of the things that makes the book a really visually stunning book, the bright colors, illustrations, a special sorts of inserts that you can pull out to see all sorts of interactive things, and there are also lots and lots of photographs and renderings of children in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the illustrators for this? Did you guys have to find the pictures yourself? Was there somebody that was the designated illustrator for the book?
So we worked with Master Books. They published the book. We sent them our copy for it and kind of gave them ideas for what we wanted to see and that kind of thing. And then they pulled together the illustrations and the photos and had a team there working on it from that aspect.
Of course, we're speaking here as Christians, and the book addresses the idea of DNA and babies and birth and all of these things from a Christian perspective. So when we talk about DNA, for example, DNA is assigned to us while we're in the womb. That's part of that's how we're built, which kind of flies in the face of pop culture that seems to think that gender is fluid and you can be what you want to be. DNA is what determines what we are, right?
Yeah, so right from that very moment of fertilization, God determines whether you're a boy or a girl. You get an XX or an XY chromosome set. And so, right from the very beginning, you're either a boy or a girl, and there's no way to change that. And one of the things that we want to bring out is that God makes you the way you are for a purpose. He designed you fearfully and wonderfully, with great care, with great purpose. No one is a mistake. No one's an accident. We're all made in the image of God for His glory. And so to try and go against the way that God has made us is just an egregious insult to His creativity and to the way that He wants us to be and the way that He wants us to live for his glory and for the good of the rest of us.
Now, I want to return to something you said just a moment ago, that we are made in the image of God. This is what it says in Genesis. And generally speaking, theologians and Christians through the centuries have taken that to mean that we are different than the animals, that we have intelligence, that we have intuitiveness, that we have creativity and so forth, right?
Yeah, so there's we are definitely, that sets us apart from the animals. We're not the same as animals. We're not just another animal. The fact that we are made in the image of God sets us apart from all the other animals. It's kind of like it's a stamp on human beings. We have certain abilities, but those abilities don't define us as humans. So, for example, there are people who aren't very creative, but just because they're not creative doesn't mean they're not made in the image of God. Every person, by virtue of being human, is created in the image of God and bears that of image bearer of the Creator.
But that also was one reason that human beings have souls, is that we're created in the image of God. So we're created originally to be eternally living creatures once we are created. But other animals, they don't have souls. There are people that love their pets that this bothers them or confuses them a lot, but we're talking about what the Bible has to say.
Yeah, so I was actually just listening to another podcast that was addressing that topic. Will my cat be in heaven? Or like my kids say, we have chickens, you know, will our chickens be in heaven? And so heaven is all things better and nothing less than what we have. And so the Bible does talk about animals being in heaven. And so I think we can look forward to a glorious creation of God's new heavens and new earth that's going to be even better than what we have here.
There you go. What we have now is a broken reflection. What will mm-hmm. be then will be the way it was originally created to be, with perfection.
Right.
I love the fact that you do make an issue in here about race. That is to say, there's only one race of humans. We are all
right.
We're all human beings. We have all the biological ways that we can prove that we're all related to each other. We can have children with each other, regardless of what our color of our skin or the shape of our eyes and all those sort of things. And we can share blood with each other, as long as our blood types are the right ones. We can donate blood, and it can be given to anybody who has the same mm-hmm. blood type. Are those things that Answers in Genesis gets asked a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a big question. You know, where did the different races, so-called races of people, come from? Why do we look so different from each other? Why does someone have a darker shade of skin than me? I have a lighter shade of skin. Why are my eyes blue versus someone who has a darker set of eyes, or even eye shape or hair type or hair color? You know, just how can we explain that? We see the variety. How can we explain it from a biblical perspective? And so, like you said, we go back to the Bible and we say Adam and Eve were the first two people. Then they descended. Then Noah and his family were the ones that were saved on the ark. And from them, God told his family to spread out and fill the earth. Of course, we know they didn't. They stayed together and they built the Tower of Babel. And so God brought a confusion of languages and separated the family groups then. And so each family group went to a different area, settled in a different area, and took with them different characteristics. So some had darker skin, some had lighter skin. But they all come from, you know, all of those characteristics are shown by the DNA, the mixture of DNA that someone has.
Right.
So,
historically, back in ancient times, when people referred to races, they would refer to different, what we would call nationalities or people groups. The English said the Irish race and the Scottish race, that they were not as good as the English race, so they oppressed them, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But they didn't do it because they didn't look the same. They did. But they said they're not like us. They're not civilized like us. And the word barbarian comes from the people that are civilized and the people that aren't civilized, as defined by the people who consider themselves to be civilized.
Right.
Race is a word that has been misused for thousands of years. But the simple answer is there's one human race, and that's all there is to it. We'd all be right. better off if all of the driver's licenses in the world quit asking what race you were and just assumed you were the human race. If you were an alien, you don't get a driver's license. You know, not
well,
alien.
Not
from another country, but from another planet. Then
right.
you know, then you have to take the test.
There's actually been a lot of forms that we had to fill out when we adopted, and they would ask for our race, and I would scratch it out and just write human in there because just didn't want to. You know, I don't want to fall into that trap of thinking of ourselves as different from other fellow human image bearers.
We are talking, in case you're just joining us, to Stacia McKeever, who is the co-author, along with Dr. Georgia Purdom, of Crafted by God, From Fertilization to Birth, a beautiful book from Master Books, which is a division of New Leaf Publishing Group. You can check their website, masterbooks.com. And this is the book that they developed as a material to use with the Answers in Genesis project. And it also, of course, is available, even if you don't get to go to the museum, you can order this online or you can find it in your favorite bookstore. And it's designed to help parents explain where do babies come from, I think. Is that a pretty good way of stating it?
Yeah, that's part of it. We want to give parents a tool to train their children to become pro-life children. So we want to raise up a generation of children who recognize that babies are people and that are able to speak out for babies and that are able to speak out for those who can't speak for themselves, who don't have a voice. And so this is it's a way to equip parents to teach their children, and it's a way to equip the children themselves as they go through the book. As they read through it, they get that picture that we're all image bearers, that life begins at fertilization. We're not unhuman or subhuman before we're born. In fact, you know, we have that 9 to 10 months before we're born that we're developing as humans. And so we also give some arguments that people use to say, well, the unborn is not human because of where they are, where they live, or how big they are, or how small they are, or what they're able to do. And so we kind of go through those arguments as well, just giving parents a good way to explain these things in simple, childlike terms so that their children can be pro-life and stand up for the babies as well.
I think the illustrations are just beautiful. Starting with day one, when mom and dad's DNA combines and starts a baby, and day two, where the baby is two cells and is starting to move and so forth. And you go through from week to week with illustrations showing what the baby would look like at that point. And it's for people who've never seen pictures like this, it's astonishing. There is no mistaking by about week six that this is a human baby. Before that, we know technically it's got to be a human baby because it's in a human womb, but it doesn't look as much like a human or a baby at the very beginning. But it doesn't take long for it to look like a baby. It'd be startlingly like a little tiny human being.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we try and bring out is that even though it might not look like what we think of as a human, each of us changes as different stages of our life. I don't look like I did when I was two. I don't look now like I'm going to look when I'm 80, should I, you know, reach that age. And so even though we look at a picture of a baby at week five and we say, oh, that doesn't look as, that's what we look like. That's what a human baby looks like right at week five. And so it's definitely just as human as the week six baby, the week eight baby. And so that's really what we want to kind of pound into the heads of the people that read the book, is that we are human right from the beginning, right from that very first meeting of the mom and dad's DNA combination. We begin a new life right there. And so we look human the whole way through, just different stages of human development.
I remember having a biology 2 textbook in 1970 or so, when I was a senior in high school, and it still had the old Jekyll illustrations of the ontogeny recapitulates phylogeny that supposedly showed that the fetus goes through evolution while it's in the womb, that it starts out looking like a baby fish and then looks like a baby pig and so forth, which is utter nonsense. But when you've never seen any other pictures but that, it's easy to swallow it because you think, right, oh, well, okay, somebody drew these pictures. They must have had actual tiny people to draw to get it looking like this. But it was already debunked by the time that I took that class 50 years ago. And yet there it was, still being used in textbooks.
It's still something that's around today, and we actually talk about that. That's one of the things that we talk about in the development, is we address that the fact that there was this person who made up these different stages. And that's one of the reasons that we wanted to do those big pictures of baby development, so that kids can see what's true, so that they see this is what a baby truly looks like. It's not the faked illustrations. It's not something, it's not a blob of cells. It's a fully formed, it's the way God wants us to develop. So we really wanted to get those illustrations and those photos in front of the kids so that they can know truth, and that they're able to separate truth from error.
Yes, and you can see the fake drawings, and as contrasted with the real embryos for fish, salamander, turtle, chicken, rabbit, and human. And you can see that they are wildly divergent. The reality is wildly divergent from Haeckel's drawings. The only thing that even looks kind of close is the turtle. But the others, no. This was a guy who was not a believer in the Bible, not a believer in God, and he was looking for an alternative, which is what we usually find when we have people who become staunch evolutionists, that they're looking for an alternative to the reality of God.
And right, yeah, they don't want to admit that they're made in the image of God and that they're responsible to a creator for their salvation and for their eternal destiny.
Yeah, because if they do, then they're beholden, you know.
And
they don't want to be beholden. It seems to me that I remember reading the words of early humanists in the early 20th century, and somebody came out and said very openly, we don't want to have to believe in God, because if we believe in God, then we have to listen to what he says. But we don't want to do that. We want to do what we want to do. And this is what the eugenics did in the early part of the 20th century as well. It's just fake science, which led eventually into the Nazi final solution.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
How are you hoping that Crafted by God will help children believe what the Bible says about abortion? And there's a section here about children with special needs. You have pictures of several children, and they have situations. And I will say, as a person who's had the privilege of living a while, when I was a child, I only knew about one person that was developmentally any different than every other kid I knew. But the older I've gotten and the more I've been around and the more places I've visited, the more I've met people who have all sorts of situations in their life, challenges that they're dealing with, that have something to do with DNA anomalies and so forth. I had a dear friend who was an Eagle Scout like me, except that it was a lot harder for him because he was born with cerebral palsy, and yet he was still brilliant. He just had difficulties in communicating and was immobile all of his life. Happily, he's a Christian, so when he passed, I know that when he got to heaven, he had all those faculties restored.
Yep. Kieran, the boy that's on that page is actually my oldest son. So we put him in there because, like you're saying, a lot of times I think disabilities scare people, or they've grown up not recognizing the humanness or the preciousness or the valuableness of those with different chromosomal arrangements or chromosomal differences or developmental differences. And so we really just wanted to remind people that every person is made in the image of God, made for a purpose, made for a reason, made with great care by the Creator. And so, yeah, including Kieran and actually Mimi in there is my sister-in-law. And Kieran is my cousin. And so we've tried to just kind of incorporate different people so that we can just reflect on, like you were saying, people that we meet, we can look at them and say, you're made in the image of God. You're valuable. You're precious.
Yeah, so you're not a mistake.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
God doesn't make mistakes.
Right. You're here for a reason. Yep.
I think that one of the things that meeting people like this does for those of us who haven't had those kind of challenges to overcome is it humbles us. And as well it should, because we get grumpy about some silly little thing and think we're being very put upon. And then we meet somebody like Kieran or Mimi or Jeffrey or Karen, and we realize, oh, wow, we have no idea what it's like. I've had a couple of students at the university where I teach who are visually impaired. It was a birth issue, and they get along quite well, thank you very much. And whenever I get grumpy about my eyeglasses being cumbersome or something, I remember what it's like for them and think, you know, you should be a little less upset about ordinary things. The book really is beautifully put together, and it is, if you will, sort of an organic way of talking to people. That is, it comes out of natural questions that children would have, to talking to them about God, talking to them about these deep things, because children wonder about these deep things too.
Yeah, so this is actually a way that I would talk to my own boys about these things. These are questions that we've dealt with them. These are ways that we talk with them. And so it is meant to be more of a conversation so parents can pick it up and address this topic, or, you know, go back to it and here's what we read here. Do you remember we talked about this and that kind of thing? So it is meant to be very conversational, very relational, very age appropriate for parents communicating to their children that all life is precious, that every person is made in the image of God, and is in need of his salvation as well.
Yes, because the very fact that you're talking about adoption also can be used as a stepping stone to, we are all, we become part of the real forever family, not just one that's here. We hear that a lot about adoption, about being adopted on earth, and it's certainly true that you're being adopted into a family. You're going to have the rest of your life on earth, but even bigger than that is being a part of the forever family of God, and that's one of the last things that you address in the book. So you kind of work through all of these other questions and all these other sort of situations that children have in order to get to this point, and talk to them about grace and forgiveness and redemption and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we want them to know their Creator. We want them to know that He's also their Savior. That when you repent and believe in what Jesus has done for us on the cross, that He gives you eternal life, so we can have that relationship with Him now and also in the future, forever. We can go to be with Him forever. So we definitely want to encourage children to know their Creator, to know their Savior, and to embrace the salvation that He offers through Jesus.
You can certainly also use your book to explain an upcoming arrival in your family, if you've got another child coming into your family.
Yep.
This is a beautiful way of explaining what's going on. What would you say is the pictures of the babies in the womb? When would you use a picture like that to explain to a child? I mean, at what age would a child be receptive to that?
Well, my personal opinion is that we need to get this in front of our kids right from, I mean, early, really early on. The intent of the book is probably upper elementary, but to me, this is something that I want my kids to know right from the beginning, from early on, so that when they encounter those things that are false and that are not true, that they have it in their mind, this is what the truth is. This is what I know to be true. And so they're able to distinguish between truth from error. So, I mean, I know there's been 5-year-olds that have looked through this book. There's been, a 3-year-old that's gone through the book with his parents. And so not that you're expecting them to embrace everything in here and to understand everything, but just getting those, washing them with those concepts and washing them with the truth early on and continually, not just one time, but continually putting it before them and continually reminding them of the truth, I think it's important.
It's just a beautiful book. And when I saw it and realized that I would have a chance to talk to you or your co-author, I thought this is the ideal book to talk about for Mother's Day, because this program runs on the radio on Sundays. And I must say that this show has been on the air for 32 years now. I've been doing this all of these years and doing an interview every week about a book, and I've got to say, I think this might be the most remarkable book that I've ever had the privilege of of sharing with listeners for Mother's Day. It is just beautiful, and it is wonderfully made too. It's not just pretty to look at. It's got real truth and real encouragement in it, as well as beautiful illustrations. So, y'all have done a wonderful job with it, and please pass my appreciation along to the folks at Answers in Genesis that put together all of the artwork in it. It is magnificent.
I will do that. Thank you very much. We appreciate it.
Well, I thank you for making time to talk to us today on the bookshelf. Before we go, do you have any other websites that you could point people toward, answersingenesis.org or anything like that?
Yeah, so there's the answersingenesis.org website, and then there's also the Creation Museum is in Northern Kentucky, and that's where we have this Fearfully and Wonderfully Made exhibit in there, so creationmuseum.org. You can go there and find out times and programs. There's so much to do there. And then Answers in Genesis is also associated with the Ark Encounter. So arkencounter.org is also a good resource to look into if you're planning a vacation over the summer. Both of those are places. The Creation Museum and the Ark Encounter are both great places to take your kids and get truth into them.
And Ken Ham is the director of the museum, correct?
Yeah, so he's the, I think he's the president now of, I think that's his title, of Answers in Genesis. And
okay.
So, yeah, he's over the Creation Museum and over the Ark Encounter as well.
Well, I've been privileged to talk to him a few times throughout the years, and he is always does a wonderful job on the show. And this is our first time to talk, but you did you did a wonderful job too. So thank you for making time to be with us and to help create this magnificent book that I think is a wonderful tool for parents and grandparents and aunts and uncles as well.
Yep, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, and God bless the work that y'all are doing with Answers in Genesis and all of these other ministries. May he continue to bless you guys for your dedication and your determination to be biblical, because sadly enough, there does seem to be an awful lack of that in today's popular culture, and we as Christians, we really have to work harder at it, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. We need to stand strong in that battle for truth.
Our thanks again to Stacia McKeever, Project Manager for the Answers in Genesis VBS program, contributor to the Answers in Genesis website and Answers magazine, herself a mother of three, and you can see a picture of one of her adopted children in the book. And the book is Crafted by God, From Fertilization to Birth. The co-author is Dr. Georgia Purdom, who has a PhD in molecular genetics. It's from Master Books. You can check their website, masterbooks.com. which is a division of New Leaf Publishing Group. We hope you have a wonderful Mother's Day, those of you who are moms. We thank you for your dedication and your love. For those of us who are privileged to still have our moms here, I hope that you hear from all your kids this day. And for those of us whose moms are in heaven, we remember them with fondness and we appreciate all that they did for us. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time right here on your favorite radio station and your favorite podcast on the bookshelf.podbean.com. Until then, I'm your host, Dave Dockford. Thanks for listening, and God bless.